It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. How's it going, everybody, this week? How you guys doing? I know it's been a while.
Wonderful.
Welcome back.
I'm so good, it's hard to be me today.
Here, you got a new addition to the family there, Jason. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I took the day off on Friday and drove down to Middle Georgia and picked up our new German short-haired pointer puppy. He'll be 8 weeks old on Tuesday. He was born on Christmas Day. He is tiny, but he is the cutest thing ever.
If you don't follow Jason on Instagram, you really should. He's got some great pictures of the new little addition. What's your Instagram username, Jason?
It is now Big Dog, BIGDAWG 308.
Well, there you go. So not much has happened since the last time we talked. I realize it's been a while. I've been behind on posting. I think I have a lost episode I need to post still. I've had a lot of health challenges. I'm like a car whose warranty is shot. So I've been dealing with
that. Are
they
not calling you every day to ask if you want to extend your warranty on your car? Do you not get those calls?
Oh my God. I wish I could get that for real life. Insurance is like, what are you doing here? You need to stop. Stop breaking down. You're too young. But yeah, it kind of sucks. But yeah, we did get a little bit behind, but you know, we're gonna fix that going forward. So we'll start with the Apple retail chief Angela Ahrens leaving the company. What do you guys think about this? What are your thoughts overall on the retail experience in the Apple Store? And you know, what are your good things and bad things?
I really only walk into the Apple Store when something's broken, like this past week when I stepped on my phone, and it's always been a pleasant experience for me. I walk in, I always make an appointment. I walk in, they say, walk to the back, somebody will be with you in a minute. I've never waited more than, say, 5 or 6 minutes for somebody to come up and say, hey, you know, here, I'm here to help. And if I have to get something replaced, they give me a ticket, and I come back in an hour or two, I'm ready to go. Or they just do it right there within 10 or 15 minutes, like a phone swap or something.
I need to go to the Apple Store in Mississippi because, wow, that's completely different than the way it is out here.
I was just about to say the same thing. You walk into an Apple Store in Dallas and you'd think you're at a Lady Gaga concert.
I mean, the store is always full, and I'm talking about in Ridgeland, Mississippi. The store is always full, but the turnover, if you will, for the Genius Bar, like getting customers in and out, is, for me, it's been a good thing.
I guess the help I've always gotten there has been good. I mean, I had the amazing experience with the MacBook Pro last year before, whenever that was, where they basically just took back my six-month-old MacBook Pro and just let me buy a new one. But it's always very crowded. And I don't think there's any way they can fix that. I mean, they're not going to build an Apple Store the size of a Macy's. It is what it is. As far as Angela Ahrens, I think I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, I have no idea if I did that right either.
I think she was just, from what the couple of articles I read, she was maybe ready to get back into fashion, and she was ready to be back near her family in the UK. So she was, you know, just like, okay, I'm done with this West Coast lifestyle, and I want to get back to the UK and my family. And I think that was more of it than anything to do with Apple, per se.
One of the things she's done good has been the Today at Apple. I believe that happened under her watch. And I do like whenever I go into the Apple Store, you see the classes that are going on, showing people how to do things. And I know previously they had the one-to-one where you could pay a fee and then you could show up and get taught things. But seeing them go over, you know, how you do things in iMovie, how you do things in Photos, stuff people need to know, I think that's very useful. So, you know, that's a positive. But my experience has been, it's been a little bit different. I mean, I guess it's just a testament both to the popularity and then the population that you live in. So in going to the Apple Store out in Alpharetta, Georgia, you know, the suburbs of Atlanta, when it was in the North Point Mall, it was busy, but at least you could get in there and get out pretty easily. Then it moved to an even more upscale shopping area known as the Avalon, where there's like, it's next to a Tesla dealership. And, you know, it's pandemonium. First of all, even finding even getting close to the thing to park is a nightmare normally. But it's much more beautiful, like the glass walls, it's outdoor, it's nice, but it is, for all intents and purposes, just, it's seemingly impossible or daunting to get anything done. The big problem is, if you have a problem and you use the app, getting an appointment is usually at least 4 or 5 days out from where you are. Like, it's depending on the device and what you're trying to do, it is really hard to accomplish. So there's that. So now I just find myself, if I have a problem, I just walk in and hope for the best. So I had my HomePod die back in January, and that was the same thing where it's like, oh, we can see you in a week. And it's like, you know what? I'm just going to roll up there at lunch and roll the dice. And within 30 minutes, I had a new HomePod, but, you know, so it worked out well. But, you know, most of the time that I go, just getting an appointment is nuts. There's a line outside the store every single day at 10 a.m. when they open. I'm not even kidding. And it was like that in the old location, too. But you go out there and you'll see there is no other place in the mall. You know, you can go down to the Williams-Sonoma down the way. There's not going to be 15 people, 20 people waiting when the doors open every single day. So it's I don't know. They got to figure out a way to do this. They got to figure out a way to get this better, because it's, and you go in and are people buying things? Are people watching things? I don't understand what's happening. Like, it is the most highly trafficked place in there. I mean, I'll go and I'll
wander.
A
lot of times it just seems like people are just standing around like,
yes,
got nothing to do.
Yes. It's like, why are you folks here if you're not going to buy anything, or what are you doing? Cause it's, you go to any other store in that place, they're all upscale stores. Low foot traffic for all of them. You're in there, and it's just like, it's like being on the floor of a stock exchange or something. It's that
literal
sort
Grand
of,
Central Station.
Yes.
I do remember a story a while back that said something to the effect of, when an Apple store is put into a mall or a center or whatever, it's like the single best thing that can be put in for any other store. Like, number one, it's always high, one of the highest in, you know, dollars per square foot. But the fact that for every other store in that center, the best thing that can go in for all of them is an Apple store, because it increases the foot traffic for everyone. And with that, do you think that, I mean, both of y'all, do y'all think that Atlanta just doesn't have enough stores? I mean,
we have five. It seems like we have five of them, and it's still every single one. I've been to every single one in the area, and they're all like that. Like, every single one is, I don't know how many they need if it's, you know what I mean? Like, if that's not enough, what's it going to take? And they're not like close to each other either. They are way spread out from everywhere. Like, you have them at Cumberland, you have them in Buford, you have them in Alpharetta, you have them at Perimeter. Like, there's, I think there's one more too.
I think there's five or Lennox. Six in Dallas. I mean, five that I can think of, but yeah. Huh.
See, Brian hates the parking so bad at Avalon that he uses me as his accessory concierge and just sends me down the road to go pick him up. The Avalon store is, I don't know, a mile and a half from my office. And the road that I'm on is kind of like a back road that gets you into the backside of the parking lot, so you don't have to go in there. So he's like, hey, man, I'm going to see you tomorrow. Can you go pick up these six items for me, please?
Yes. Tell them about your experience for me with the battery case. That was a unique experience. I do want to say before he says this that I tried not to get Jason to do this. I showed up and hung out at the Starbucks that was just down the way from the Apple store. You know, like, the new battery case is coming out. I get the email that it's going to be there that Thursday that it launches, I think like the 19th or something, 18th, whatever it was. So I'm at the Starbucks. I'm working, you know, I'm doing my thing, making my calls, doing my meetings and whatnot. I walk down as soon as the store opens and they're like, it's not here yet. Go away. You know what I mean? Like, it's great that you're here, but no, it's not here yet. So, and I had so much to do that day. I could not just sort of stick around and do it from there. So that was when Jason got a call. So Jason, take it away.
So I roll in there and pull out my phone, and they scan the barcode, and they're like, we'll have your product right up, Mr. Baggett. And I said, I'm not Mr. Baggett. And they said, oh, well, friend of Mr. Baggett, we'll have your product up in just a moment.
Concierge of Mr. Baggett, yeah, I believe.
Yes. So
I work for Mr. Baggett, thank you.
Alfred to my Batman.
Jeeves.
Yeah, so they send me kind of to the front right corner of the store where the door is for going into the back to get their inventory or whatnot. So I'm hanging out up there, and the guy's like, what are you here to get? And I was like, the new 10S battery case. And he's like, those haven't come in yet. And I was like, no, I got to notice, like, it's here. Like, I was told to come now because it's here. And he's like, no, we didn't get those. And
don't mess with me, man.
Right. So I said, well, why don't you just go back there and check? And so sure enough, he did. And he comes back out. And I said, well, it's like, crap. Now I'm kind of jealous of Mr. Baggett. So how about you go back in the back and get me one for a 10S Max? And he was like, we don't have any. And I was like, come on, dude. I was like, just because I don't have a reservation, I know you got boxes and boxes of them back there. He was like, no. He said, this is the only one in the store, period. He said, your friend is the one that pre-ordered it and had it shipped to the store, and it happened to show up a day early, and this is the only one we got. And I was like, well, I don't want your humpback piece of crap battery pack anyhow. And they just started laughing.
So. Screw you guys.
Yep. So it was a good overall experience.
It's kind of funny they wouldn't believe him that actually it was there. It's not there. Yes, it is. I've gone through that before where I've bought stuff at the Apple store and they don't believe it.
Even better story. So when I went in a couple weeks ago to get mine, it was a couple of days after they were out, and I checked online and they had them in stock. So I went in to get it. And when I was online, I happened to see that they started selling those USB-C Apple Watch chargers, the little bitty like 6-8 inch cable that's got the battery charger on one end, you know, and USB-C, so I could plug it into my laptop when I'm on the road. So I got the battery case and I asked them about that cable, and they're like, no, that's not a thing. And I'm like, no, I just saw it online. It says you have them in stock. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's a short cable with USB-C to charge the watch. And so he pulls out his little device, you know, with the credit card thing on the back, and he starts typing in it, and he goes, I'll be damned. He's like, I didn't even know that existed. And it looks like we have them in stock. So he's like,
they're becoming Best Buy employees at this point. This is the depressing thing.
Well, he just said, you know, they're a lot of times little stuff like that, they find out from customers because they don't tell them that something has come out. And, you know, it's not like something that sits on the floor, you know, that.
I guess every Apple store employee isn't a fanboy.
But the funny thing is they immediately go to, that's not a thing. Like, you're wrong without pulling out the device. See, if they didn't know and then they looked it up and said, well, I'll be damned, and then they go, then I would have some sympathy. But when they go, that's not a thing, and then you have to school them, that is not cool. I had the same thing happen with the Magic Keyboard, the Black Magic Keyboard. Where I went to buy it, we don't have those. It's like, your inventory system says that you do, so please go back there and check. And they come back.
Same thing I did.
Whoa! It's like, did they hire my dad to work at the Apple store? What's going on here? Like, you're supposed to, if I know, you should know. That should be like, this is not.
Same exact experience. But I mean, literally, it was like, that's not a thing. And I'm like, no, it is. Just look it up.
That still makes me laugh.
So I dropped $200.
He had an email. He had, it's here. It's like, here's the order. No, it's not. And it's like, yes, it is.
Right. I mean, somebody in that store scanned it to hit the workflow that actually sent out the email. So
you guys are pulling my chain.
That doesn't exist. That's not a thing. Fake news. Anyway.
That's what he should have said, right? Fake news. That doesn't exist.
We don't have those here. Go away. Let's see. So the blogs have been all a Twitter, no pun intended, of possibly new AirPods in March. And I, for one, really hope they're right, right? The news has been vacillating between the fall and the spring and the fall.
Finally.
And the spring. If they do one in the spring, I'm ordering two the moment it happens. I'll send out a group text. I'll say, hey, everybody, jump on this just so you know it's here. But, you know, the rumors that are going around is that you can invoke Siri without touching them, maybe finally get AirPower, but who cares about that? And, you know, maybe colors other than white. I think I said a few weeks ago that if when the new AirPods come out, I'm going to get the case painted black and the AirPods painted red just because. But, you know, if they had different colors, that would be fantastic. You guys looking forward to this?
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been down a pair of AirPods for a couple months now. My left AirPod only works when you kind of turn it, like, I don't know, 90 to 120 degrees
Giuliani
upwards.
Style.
So you look like a total goob, but that's the only way that that one works. You know, the
right, Rudy Giuliani style.
Yeah. The right one's in just fine. It's just the left one. So, and I just, knowing that the new ones are coming out, and even if they don't have the AirPods 2, just knowing that the wireless charger version of the case is going to be coming out, I just don't want to invest in the first gen for another pair. So I've just kind of been suffering without recently, but I am, if they have AirPods too, and especially in a different color, I'm all on it day one.
They also talked about some kind of matte or sticky finish that they're going to have to like help them stay on your ears better, which I don't have a problem with. I don't know if my tragus, which is the little flap in front of your ear hole, I just have the right size tragus, so mine just stay in my ear right. But I've never had an issue with mine coming out.
Look at Brad dropping the tragus on the podcast.
Today. Next thing you know,
he's married to a physician.
Next thing you know, he's going to be talking about his weenus. So
he's quite the cunning linguist.
I am also in the market. I can't wait. Mine, as far as audio, work just fine. As far as conference calls, they last about 20 minutes, maybe. I mean, it's ridiculous. I almost can't even use them for a conference call now because, I mean, they're over a year old. The batteries, I mean, they're not that big, so the batteries have just, you know, dwindled. So, yeah, I've been waiting. I've totally been wanting a pair for 6 months. And my buddy in Thailand is anytime I see any articles or y'all post any, I forward them to him because he really wants a pair, and he was resisting it. And then he saw mine and he liked them, and he was like, "Well, surely the new ones will be coming out soon." And he's still been waiting. So, so Rod, if you're out there, we think they're coming.
I've got a spare set. I've not even pulled them out of the shrink wrap.
Yeah, I had a spare pair that I kept for a long time before I sent them into black pods and had them painted, and I sort of alternate so that, you know. But see, I exercise in mine, and they never come out. Like, I know people have different shaped ears, and it could be a problem, but I put mine through a lot, and they never move. No matter how much I move my head around or, you know, contort or do weird things, it never comes out, so they've been good. It's really weird how it started out that everybody mocked these things relentlessly when they were announced. Like, how ridiculous and how stupid, and, oh, just this Apple excess. And then, you know, here we are 2 years. I think I got mine on right around Christmas 2016 in that first batch. They're over 2 years old at this point, and now there's memes, there's jokes, there's hilarity, they're like a status symbol. It's odd to me the reversal.
And they're like the number one Apple accessory.
Yes, isn't that strange?
They are so ubiquitous now. I'll go through the grocery store, and I used to be the only person with AirPods, and now everybody I see in the grocery store that would be wearing headphones, they all are wearing AirPods.
I remember when I got mine, I would be walking around and I'd be in Starbucks or I'd be somewhere else, and just people, you know, they would ask, you know, is that the, you know, the whatever AirPods, you know? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, how do they stay in there? And I'm like, they just, you know, everybody would ask about them and see. I mean, yeah, it's kind of crazy how they've evolved. I am looking forward to, I don't necessarily need the like extra stickiness in my ears, but the case, you know, I've got a case around mine, but, you know, if it was naked, if that little white case wasn't so damn slippery, that'd be good. I did have an extra pair, but I gave them to a lady friend, and that was the one or two before the one I'm with now, and so I never got them back. So it was, don't do that, kids.
Comme ci, comme ça.
You really wouldn't want used AirPods.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see what else is going on. So Apple is in talks to create a Netflix for News type subscription service, and reportedly they're looking to take 50% of a cut from news publishers. It's supposed to cost $10 a month, but be an ad-free news experience. What do you guys think about this? Is 50% too much? What are your thoughts?
It sort of makes me think of the sort of what all the print papers did whenever they wanted to go online, you know, New York Times and whatnot, where, you know, obviously you pay for the paper to be delivered to your house, but, you know, they go online and decide they want to give you a similar, I guess, experience, and you have to pay, I don't know, a dollar a month or something or another to have online access.
So for me, I don't recall seeing any articles that were touting this as an ad-free news experience. I was seeing this as still ad-supported that you were paying for, but that you were getting additional content, you know, behind the paywall of like Washington Post or New York Times or other publishers.
I may have gotten that wrong. Let me see. I thought it was ad-free. Hang on.
I thought I saw ad-free too, but I could be wrong. I most of the articles I saw were just up in arms over the fee that Apple is trying to charge, which is the 50% fee. And I mean, while it is crazy, it's Apple, and they're able to deliver a educated user base that has certain income levels better than anybody else in the world. So if anybody can demand what they want, I guess it's Apple.
Well, this kind of reminds me of the old Internet Explorer wars of the late 90s, early 2000s. Of Internet Explorer was dominant because every Windows machine had it. And so, you know, this is kind of the same type of scenario of, we've got billions of devices that ship with the news app already on it, right? So every one of Apple's customers is a potential customer of this service. And that's just an opportunity that these publishers can't go out and generate or create for themselves. So 50% may sound like a lot, but think of the ecosystem that it took and all the R&D to you know, kind of create this platform and proliferate it over the last 10 years to give them the opportunity to get their word out.
Also, the thing is, too, is that, first of all, if it's not ad-free, then it's dead before it even starts. Like, if you're paying $10 a month and you have to put up with ads, I wouldn't do it, and I like to read news. I can't imagine anyone else would either, especially, there's a thought that if you're paying for that, now, maybe you'll pay $10 a month for Hulu and put up with ads, but you're not going to do that for news. Like, nobody would do that, so that would be a non-starter. But the other thing, too, is that when you look at all these journalists who have been laid off, you look at BuzzFeed cleaning house and Vice cleaning house and Vox cleaning house, all these places where it's the online media world is dying, you know, 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing, I would think. But
kind of back to the ads and revenue, right? So it says the Ars Technica article that you posted in the show notes, you know, it talks about Apple reportedly wants to keep 50% of subscription revenue from the service. Well, just more eyes seeing New York Times content does not make New York Times more money, right? More eyes seeing the advertisement coming from New York Times makes New York Times more money. So
more people paying Apple some amount of money that, you know, if you're getting $5 a month from Apple for subscribing to that service, that would be what you'd want. I mean, that's, again, no one's stopping them from selling their own online access through, you know, NewYorkTimes.com, where they could charge whatever they wanted. But you know what I mean?
I agree with Brian there.
To me, what this feels like is essentially Apple Music for news, right? So you're paying a subscription, and then for every song that you play, that artist gets a cut of the pie, right? So if I don't listen to Kenny Rogers, Kenny Rogers doesn't get any, you know, Apple Music revenue kind of thing. So if I don't read New York Times, then they don't get it. So, you know, I could see that as part of the revenue generating process, but it also seems like some publishers would get very, very rich and some publishers would get very minimal exposure.
It almost seems like they're trying to do what they did with Apple TV and trying to sort of have a single sign-on for all your apps. Whereas I have a print Wired subscription, which comes with a online access to so where you don't get ads if you want to read it online. And I can go flip over to Apple News, hit on Wired, and put in my credentials for that for my Wired magazine sub. And I'm not sure what I'm really getting with that, but it does work. I don't know if Apple's trying to go the similar route with that, though, to where you pay one thing and get more access to more magazines or more news content.
I tend to think Apple's trying to sell it as kind of like what Brian says. These are people that you weren't going to get a cut of the pie from. And so if you join us, you're getting some money from this that you would normally not have gotten. I mean, basically it's, you know, Jim was never going to pay you the New York Times for news, but Jim might pay $10 to Apple to get access to all of these news sources that are part of this, and we'll throw you 50 cents from, you know, from Jim's $10. And so that's 50 cents that you weren't going to be making anyway. So, you know, you're not basically I think they're trying to sell it where you're not going to cannibalize any of your sales because you were never going to sell to Jim anyway, is how they're trying to market it. Whether that's true or not in most cases, you know, I don't know.
I think about the news app in iOS now, and I guess also the horrible Marzipan version of that on macOS. I use that quite a bit, and I'm reading news from various sources that I would never hit otherwise. So, you know, if they had a better experience, that's already a great experience to me, almost good enough that I don't care for a subscription one. But if they could improve upon it somehow, I could see possibly doing that, just because it's a great time waster for me to sit there and see what's going on in the world without being as irritated as I would normally be going to each one of these websites and having to use the pie hole or punish or unobstruct or any of those other little extensions that I have to scrape away the nagware and the begware of, please give us money, please stop turning off ads, please, please, please.
You know, and that on that note, a lot of people don't know about those things or don't really have the savvy to understand, like, you know, I downloaded this OneBlocker app, but how does it work with Safari or whatever? And why does it work, or they get it working, why does it work on my iPhone, but nowhere else? And then they don't have the same experience across their Mac or their PC or their phone.
Totally true.
I love the news app. I mean, that's one of the, I mean, that's what I do in the bed at night. I lay down with the iPad and open up the news app and read a bunch of stuff. What I'm going to be mad about is if I'm not paying that $10, if I lose some of my sources from the news app that I have now, because, you know, I do like the news app. So, you know, is Apple going to take stuff away from me, the free person, if they start up the service? That hasn't been answered yet.
Yeah, that would kind of suck. They should have never made the news app free. that would be the big problem. So speaking of subscription services, we have a couple of other things. So Spotify has acquired the podcast producer Gimlet Media for $230 million, and the app maker Anchor. Anchor is an app where you can make your own podcast from your iOS device and host them for free, free hosting with whatever. Now those will be on Spotify, presumably, or Spotify exclusives. What do you guys think about this? Because this really bums me out. I really like some of Gimlet's podcasts. I listen to Heavyweights a lot, and I think there was another one, Reply All, maybe was another one that I think was a Gimlet podcast. I hate seeing these things, even though I have access to that behind the paywall. I really hate seeing something that was a free medium that anybody with an RSS feed could get now going and being walled off. What do you think?
So do you think they're going to start buying up more podcast networks, if you will, like say, yep, if they bought How Stuff Works or
yeah, I mean, like the that? The thing that, I mean, we've talked about Spotify ad infinitum.
They're going to rename them to that, by the way. They might have to. We're going to call them all Spodcast now.
We've talked about Spotify ad infinitum, and I've always thought that they needed to become a record label. That's where I thought they were ultimately going to go, was become a music label, start signing artists and doing it that way. But the barrier to entry is a lot lower for podcasts because they don't cost much to produce, and you can go and scoop them up and do what you need to do. And it's probably more cost effective for them to do that. And with podcasts, I listen to podcasts far more than I listen to music. I mean, that's just, when I drive to work, when I drive home, I know Jim is an outlier. Jim will sit there. Okay, so I do a lot of, I talk to people for a living, so I can't sit there and just put on like that video game music you listen to and then zone out and code. I have to communicate, so I can't listen to a lot of stuff during the day. Exactly. He's sitting there bopping his head. But when I'm driving to work, when I'm driving back, when I'm going to the store, doing whatever, I need something like that to, even when I drive to visit my family, like 6 hours away, I'll sit there and listen to things like that. Conversation keeps my mind engaged. Whereas the music, I could block out the music almost completely. So I know I listen to that probably more than anything, even though I will listen to music a lot too, but I don't know. It seems like inherently a bad thing for them to go scooping up podcasts.
So first off, I'm super happy for the Gimlet guys. I listened to their that network when they were starting up. It was that guy, he left Planet Money or something, or you know, one of the NPR ones, and started up Gimlet. And they had a whole podcast about how it was getting started up, like who he partnered with and all that stuff. I mean, it was really good. And, you know, they've worked their butts off, and they sold, and, you know, they made a bunch of money. I don't necessarily think that was ever their goal to sell when they started up Gimlet. You know, it was to make money, obviously, but not like to sell like this. The issue I have here is, I don't know if you, it's not even necessarily the paywall, because I pay for Spotify and I don't mind paying for Spotify. I think it's well worth what it cost. It's the ecosystem of how I listen that bugs me the most. I use Overcast, which is a podcast app for iOS, and that's where I go to listen to my podcast. And so if I have to remember that there's this one podcast that's only in Spotify and I have to go there to listen to it, then I tend to not listen to it because I use Spotify for music. And even though, I mean, I have to really want to listen to the podcast to, you know, kind of just remember, make myself remember, oh, I can listen to this on Spotify if I don't have anything I want to listen to in Overcast. Then the problem becomes the podcast interface on Spotify is awful compared to a dedicated podcast app, because the dedicated podcast app is made for podcasts. It's not made for listening to albums. So it's often hard to tell what I've listened to or where I was or things like that inside Spotify. So I now look to Spotify to improve your podcast interface if you want to actually engage people to come listen to this content that you just bought.
What I would rather see happen is if they had a period of exclusivity on Spotify, I'd be fine with that. Like if they wanted to take the Gimlet podcast and put them out there and then a month later they put them on, you know, where you can get them via RSS, I would be okay with that. If they wanted to have an ad-free experience on the on Spotify and make you listen to ads, you know, somewhere else, I'd be okay with that. But just putting it completely behind the paywall, and I say that as somebody who subscribes, but like you, when I use Spotify, I'm not listening to podcasts. That's not what I'm there for. And I know that's probably what they're going to try and change, but man, that kind of sucks of just, I don't know. I mean, I get it. You get exclusives on all sorts of streaming services. I understand. I mean, I get how it works, but it just, and again, I don't begrudge the guys. I mean, you know, they hit the lottery. Good for them, but it just means
I'm perfectly fine with a MailChimp ad every now and then.
What's that?
I'm perfectly fine with the MailChimp ad every now and then. You know? MailChimp, if you're listening, you know, we have some openings.
And we are based in Atlanta too, so hey.
So I got it. This is kind of off topic, but this is a weird exclusive. So my mom sends me this text on Thursday, and she said, I heard this song on the Today Show. You know, you got to listen to it. It's by Trisha Yearwood. You know, I think you'd like it. You know, it was Valentine's Day and it was all lovey. And she's like, you know, you got to send it to Meg, whatever. And I'm like, okay, mom. So I got on my phone and I searched for, you know, like the new Trisha Yearwood on iTunes and it wasn't there. And I looked on Spotify and it wasn't there. And I'm like, mom, I can't find this. And before I got a reply from her, I kind of just did a Google search. So it turns out Williams Sonoma had an exclusive agreement for Trisha Yearwood's new album.
Wow.
Up until Friday. It was like the week before you could somehow buy it or listen to it, or I don't even know, but it was through Williams Sonoma because evidently maybe she's got some products there or something.
And she has a very popular cooking show. That's
oh why. Oh okay. See, I didn't. That would have helped, but I was just like, why is your album released exclusively to Williams Sonoma? That just,
so what would you
weird.
Do? Only buy the physical CD at Williams Sonoma?
Right. So on Friday it started streaming everywhere, but it was just funny because, you know, she was like on the Today Show, you know, singing this song, and when I went to go listen to it or whatever, I couldn't. And since I didn't see the show, they probably mentioned that, you know, plug that on the show. But that just seems like the weirdest exclusive for an album ever.
So is it available on Spotify and Apple Music now?
It is now, as of Friday. So it was of the 16th or 15th, whatever Friday was, it was going wide release. But there was like a week before or something where it was exclusive to Williams-Sonoma.
That's kind of surprising to me because, you know, for many, many, many years, Garth Brooks did not have anything on any streaming services and created his own, I think it was called Ghost Tunes or something like that, that has now been acquired by Amazon. But
right.
I think he still doesn't sell single songs. Like, you have to buy whole albums to be able to get his music. And seeing as he's married to Trisha Yearwood, that's why I kind of, but then again, he has considerably more star power and a considerably larger catalog than she has. So maybe he can still get away with it.
He was, yeah, like, you can stream him on Amazon now.
Yeah.
All his albums and stuff.
You can stream him on Amazon. But yeah, he was one of those that was like that. HomePod just said something. He was one of those that was like that where I think AC/DC was the same way. Kiss was the same way for a while. Kid Rock, where it was all like, you know, physical media or, you know, get out. We, you know, we're not going to streaming at all. It's a ripoff, says the guy who is probably already a billionaire. So that's kind of it's kind of funny.
I want to say there was an exclusivity for a while for Garth Brooks where they only sold his stuff at Walmart.
There was, and they did that with AC/DC. And they may have done it with Kid Rock for a while, too, when it was still physical media. Where
there was an exclusive Eagles album at Walmart that sold amazingly like that. I mean, I've read articles before I went to see the Eagles last year, you know, just kind of searching around. And there were stories about that, how, you know, that couldn't have worked out better for them the way, you know, it was like a double album that they only sold at Walmart for like $10. And it sold, you know, a ton. I mean, that was years ago, but.
But still, I mean, they're clinging to physical media long after physical media was no longer a thing, even, was really weird. But yeah, I remember when he did that Ghost Tunes thing where it was like, now you can get his music streaming online. And that lasted for about 10 minutes before Amazon scooped it up, which is really all he wanted anyway, I think, was to he didn't want to run a store. He just wanted to get that payout from one of those. So I'm actually surprised Apple didn't do it, considering what they've done for the Beatles and other such artists where they pay a ton.
West Coast
on.
Bias.
What was
that's
that?
West Coast bias.
They
were slow on the Garth Brooks uptake.
Speaking of the Beatles, and again, a tangent, right? But we've talked a lot about movies on the podcast. I saw a preview for, I think it's called something like Yesterday or something. That looks like it's going to be pretty good, where like the something happens and like the Beatles history gets erased from the world, and this guy remembered all the songs.
This guy gets hit in the head or something like that, and he wakes up in a world where nobody knows who the Beatles are, and they hear him doing like Yesterday, and they're like, that's a great song that you wrote. So he just, after a while, when he realizes that nobody knows who the Beatles are, he's just like,
rolls with it.
Yeah, he just rolls with it and starts doing all of their greatest hits, and he's heralded like... I think they had Ed Sheeran in the trailer where it was like...
Ed Sheeran was telling him to change the name from Hey Jude to Hey Dude because it sounded better.
I'll put a link in the show notes to the trailer.
Good.
It's amazing.
It sounds kind of original, finally.
Made by the same guy that did Slumdog Millionaire, I think. So, looks good. Let's see what happened. So, Apple finally patched the facepalm bug that was allowing people who were using group FaceTime to see you and hear you without you answering the call. What do you guys think about this?
It was a huge bug, probably one of the biggest ever for Apple. No telling how long it actually existed before somebody figured it out. But, I mean, it wasn't huge for me, but I can see where it definitely had, you know, this was more of an embarrassment than anything for Apple. This is kind of a big one.
Well, I tell you, the one thing that it really revealed to me and knocked a point home is Weasley lawyers will be weasels. So the very day that it was announced, some lawyer started suing Apple, saying that his private deposition had been compromised. And I was like, what lawyer is using group FaceTime to do depositions? Right. So I think that case is going to get thrown out. But it was just funny that instantly there's a massive lawsuit against Apple where a guy's, you know, claiming that, you know, his and his client's privacy was invaded during one of their depositions.
Considering
plaintiffs' lawyers are always trigger happy to spin up a new class action.
Oh, yeah. Suit. Yeah. They see somebody with deep pockets.
Lawyer's going to lawyer.
I mean, considering that group FaceTime had only been available for like a month. And nobody, we're some of the most diehard nerds I know, and even we are still using Skype when we podcast. Like, we're not even using it and it's a perfect use case for using it for the podcast, and we still haven't made the switch. So honestly, I didn't trust it before just because it wasn't mature like Skype. What was that? Every time I talk, I can't hear you, Jim.
Don't tell. We're not using FaceTime. Shh.
Oh. Are you guys having trouble hearing Jim? Like, whenever?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I got
that new internet at the new house.
No, like every time I go to talk, if we talk over, normally I could hear Jim and still in my earphones. I couldn't hear him at all. Like I completely overrode him, and that has never happened before with any of you guys.
No, Brian, you override us all the time, sir.
Never.
Only in post.
No, I just make sure that we don't step on each other in post. It's wonderful. It's like we coordinate everything. Let's see. So it came out this week. There were developers who were doing screen recording of user interactions inside of applications that were in the App Store, like Hotels.com, Expedia, Air Canada, and they could replay user sessions. And this, of course, you know, was not disclosed. And apparently some of these don't redact the sensitive info when they're doing this. As much as people are getting upset about this, my former employer, I know several customers or clients, big, huge financial institutions, that do the same thing. There's been software out there forever where you could replay the clicks that a user did on your website. So you could recreate their entire session from scratch, including everything that was on the screen at the time and within the context of what they're doing with your app, right? I mean, you know, when they were on your website, what were they able to see? What were they able to do? So none of this is new, but apparently people are really freaked out about this. I guess I can kind of understand it, but maybe they didn't know that was happening from a web perspective, like for years. I mean, I know at least 10 years. This has been a thing from the browser-based world. What do you guys think about this?
I think this is kind of much ado about nothing, like you said. I mean, it's been happening in the browser world forever. I think in the browser world, you weren't making a video of what you were doing. It was just possible that anything they were doing could be recreated. So I think that's what it, people don't understand that aspect of, like, you know, an HTML page that you could basically recreate all the clicks just using simple JavaScript, I'm sure. Whereas this, you know, is some sort of recording of what they're doing. It's I think it's just about people not understanding one versus the other.
Well, on the scale that, you know, you have Apple devices in hands, you know, that's another thing that makes people's ears perk up is, you know, they're doing that on my phone, you know, and the phones are just so much more, they're in more hands than, say, people have computers on their desks these days.
Well, one thing that I found funny this week was when the story came out, you can tell how people get either their news secondhand or they just read headlines and don't actually read the articles, and then they kind of misinterpret. So I overheard a conversation between two ladies at work talking, saying that they heard that Apple was, or some apps in the App Store were taking photographs of them while they were using the app. So instead of actually understanding that it was screenshots, they thought that their privacy was being invaded because the, you know, phone was taking pictures of them using the apps.
Only if you're using group FaceTime. Oh, that's too good. Oh, my God.
Hey, Jason, I think there's somebody dying in the background at your house.
Yeah, the puppy is not happy about being in the crate.
Let's see. I think the last thing I had to talk about, well, there's a couple of things, but not much. Apple will be launching their new video service in April or May. The rumors have there's going to be allegedly an end of March event. Hopefully we'll get new AirPods, but we are expected to see the news roll out. We're also expected to see their streaming service, or at least their shows, or however it is they're going to present with all this content that they've been producing for the last couple of years that no one has seen. Reportedly, it's going to have, like, you know, this event's going to have Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston and all these other stars that are in these Apple productions. You guys excited for that? Or are you not looking forward to one more streaming service to have to watch stuff on?
Oh, man, another monthly fee. It's like, I have not canceled my DirecTV Now yet because I just really... I admit it. I really like the service. I think, you know, it's a good service. I have a great price. You know, I can flip on a football game anywhere I'm at on my phone, and it just works. So here at the new place, we have Spectrum, and the cable is included with the condo. Like, the condo association has agreements, so the internet and the cable are included. And the internet's pretty good. You know, no complaints here on that. The speed here has been great. But Spectrum's TV offering, in-house it's fine, but their external streaming support is not near as good as what I get with DirecTV. Like, there's certain channels that they're not allowed to stream or something externally. So, like, I've went to watch, you know, like ESPN or something out of the house and tried it on the Spectrum app. And then supposedly, you know, it'll... if you log in, it'll work in the ESPN app, but that always hasn't been the case. I haven't had time to really play with it that much, but yeah, I mean, this is obviously, it's something I'm going to try. Hopefully they have a trial, but I guess trials are hard with things like this with content, because if you say I'm going to give you a, you know, a month or a week trial or whatever, somebody could binge everything they want to watch and then never subscribe.
Well, I mean, that's true with Netflix or Hulu or any of those, but the whole hook is we're going to keep producing content, so it's impossible for you to do that. Like, you can try out the new hotness, but there'll be so much. Like, think about with Netflix, right? Of you, that'd be impossible. Even with, like, you could give somebody a 3-month free trial, and you couldn't hit, if you watch 24 hours a day, everything.
There's so much,
and it's constant stuff, new stuff dropping all the time. I will say, and I may have to be creative in my editing here, but I've been subscribing to the DC Universe app for the last couple of months, right? It's like $7 a month or something, or $70 a year. You know, I'm a big comic book head, and they had a show debut on Friday called Doom Patrol, and it's based on a 60s comic. And I thought, okay, this is going to be kind of goofy, but I was kind of bored, so I fired it up. And Brendan Fraser's on it. Like, what happened to his career? But he's on it. So where I'm going with this is some of these streaming services, they are trying to differentiate themselves. I knew they had like a Teen Titans show that was like R-rated. I remember when the trailer dropped for that a couple months ago, and it's like, oh, I'll subscribe and watch that, and I still haven't watched it yet. But yeah,
that show is exclusive to this DC. Yes. I've never even heard of that streaming service, and so
exactly.
I mean, that's crazy.
Exactly. These things are popping up, and it's so fractured. It's going to be death by 1,000 subscriptions at some point. And you know, Netflix paid $100 million to keep Friends on Netflix for another year or two. And they've already said as soon as that license is up, they're going to pull it because Warner is launching their own streaming service. Disney is about to launch their own streaming service. And, you know, this balkanization of content is going to suck. I mean, it's going to be terrible.
I mean, it's kind of, I hate to say it, but it's careful what you ask for, because think about how we complained for years about packaged cable services where I'm paying $200 a month and I only watch, you know, 10 of these 200 channels. I wish I could just pay for the 10. Well, now you can just pay for the 10 and it's $200. I mean,
that's the that's going to be the problem right there. I mean, it's going to absolutely suck when all of these things are out there. I already pay for, let's see, I pay for Amazon Prime. I pay for Netflix, Hulu commercial free. I have a Star subscription. I have the DC Universe subscription. I have the DirecTV Now that I got locked in on that low price. Like right now I'm paying more than I ever did on cable, I do believe, or satellite, just because, you know, oh, I got to see this new cool show that everybody's talking about. At some point, I got to, like, I think I have CBS All Access. Jesus, I am just...
And don't forget your Apple Music and Spotify.
And YouTube.
And YouTube.
My God. Good Lord. We're here. I am a streaming provider's ideal customer. This sucks.
It's exactly like I said. You know, it's careful what you ask for. You know, the thing is, it's going to be survival of the fittest, though, where some big channel before could carry one that almost nobody watched, though that one could still exist, whereas now going on their own, you know, that little one, you know, may not be able to survive on their own. But I guess it's all about the content. I mean, if they're making actual TV shows like you're talking about with somebody like Brandon Fraser, who, you know, might come at a discount nowadays, I don't know, you know, it's... Is $7 a month pay for, you know, a TV show with Brandon Fraser? You know, how many people are willing to pay for that, you know?
Well, think about all the stuff that might be good that you might miss just because you don't even know that it exists. Like, this is a thing that if I hadn't mentioned it just now, you wouldn't, you know, it could be on for a couple of years and you may not even be aware. They may end up rolling it into their larger Warner app since Warner owns DC when that thing rolls out. So who knows how it's going to shake torrent. Out. But all these services are killing me. I'm really hoping that whatever Apple does, those of us who have been in the faithful for years, maybe give us a price break of some sort. Give us something so I please don't have to pay quite as much. Differentiate yourself that way, Apple.
It should be like, you know, how many devices do you own? You're like, look, I've got a MacBook Pro, I've got an iPad Pro, and I've got an iPhone XS. You know, with all three of those, you know, your bundle, you know, is dropped by $4 a month. You know, kind of like...
So when I went to the Apple store a couple months ago and I brought in my HomePod and they pulled up my account, I saw the guy like, all right, so which device is associated with because they have like the phone becomes associated with the HomePod, right? The device.
There's 85 devices attached to your account.
And I see him scroll and scroll and scroll. And then he kind of looks up like, you know, what's wrong with you? Like even the guy who works there is kind of like, which one of these eight phones is you right here? Oh, this one.
Well, I've got to share one thing about my HomePod. For the very I've had a HomePod since the day it came out. I've got two now. I had my very first false positive of it picking up, and then I actually rewound the TV to figure out was there something that made it sound, you know, like, and it was something like, "Hey, seriously, why did you do that?" And sure enough, it picked up, and you know, it responded like, you know, something like, you know, I didn't understand the question or something like that. But compare that to the old Amazon devices.
Do that, and sure enough, I didn't understand the question or something like that.
Wow.
But I could search the web for it.
So clearly I invoked it when I said that. So sorry to our listeners whose phones just all picked up. But compared to the Amazon devices, I would say that a couple hundred days and only one false positive pickup versus sometimes 8 to 10 a day. Needless to say, there's only one Amazon device left turned on in the house, and that's near my bed, so I can control the thermostat when I get hot in the middle of the night.
So my nephew and his wife and their kid went and visited my parents. So, you know, my parents got to see their great grandson. And while they were visiting, my mom used her HomePod to start playing Baby Shark. And my nephew, who's maybe a year and a half, was, you know, he's dancing around, but he's trying to figure out where the music's coming from. So he's like looking under the couch. He's looking under like the ottoman and under the coffee table. Like he can't figure it out because every time he's ever heard the song, it's come from a phone. Like my nephew will pull out, you know, the thing started playing, it's from a phone or the TV. And they thought it was the funniest thing. They totally befuddled my nephew when they would invoke, you know, they'd say, play that song. And he'd like it at first, but he's like, where is this coming from? Like, he was running around the house and couldn't figure it out. That would make a great Apple ad, I do believe.
That would.
Speaking of Apple ads, have you guys seen the new one of the two moms? There's two moms, and one of them pulls out a photo, and it's portrait mode, and, like, her kid is in the foreground, like, crystal clear, and this other kid is in the background, and she goes, is that Jacob? Why did you bokeh Jacob? Why do you hate Jacob?
Yes, the bokeh commercial.
And then she's like, what kind of person bokehs a child? I thought it was hysterical.
That is pretty good. We'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
I don't know how true this is, but I've only seen it in one article, but they were talking about how much these things cost, Apple and whatnot. And this article said that the HomePod is actually sold at a loss right now, that it costs them more to make it than what they're selling it for, that it's still so expensive compared to the other ones, but that the whatever that's in it actually costs them more. So I thought that was kind of surprising.
I would be surprised if that was actually true, because that's really not Apple's, that's not Apple's style, right? They've yeah. demonstrated they will charge whatever they want and people will pay it, and it doesn't seem to impact it. So I would take that one with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I don't believe it for a second.
And then you have the steep discounts that those things have been offered at from various yeah. retailers, and it's just like,
yeah,
you
I mean,
know,
that's where I got mine cheap.
Yeah, you know, when Apple sells something that, I don't know, seems fishy to me, so... the last thing I have is that Apple and American Airlines are going to partner to provide Apple Music on their flights to stream music, which is kind of cool. And I just realized that Jim lives in Dallas but doesn't fly the most Dallas airline of them all. So will this make you switch, Jim, or are you Southwest for life?
Southwest is the most Dallas airline of all. Come on. I mean, it started here. Their headquarters is here. American came from New York. If you listen to that podcast, you know this.
I did. But Texas nice to them. Texas was so great to them.
They were. That was a great podcast. We're talking about Business Wars. There was a they do little arcs on, you know, two different companies, and so the first one I listened to was Southwest versus American, but it was really Southwest versus the world, kind of.
Yes.
Because they talked about Braniff and American. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, and there's a good Coke Pepsi is good, too, on there.
Yeah, shout out to that Business Wars podcast. Now, I really wish that guy was able to get actual voice actors to come in, because he does the voices for everything. And it's it's fine, but it's
like it would be funny sometimes. Yeah,
it would be better if he didn't do that. I would like that a lot better. So, yeah, that was a great one. Like, I didn't realize the entire Texas airline industry and how Southwest started and Braniff and some of those and the competition between them and how all that started. So it is a good thing. But yeah,
it was a really good story. Herb Keller just passed away in the last month or two. They've been celebrating him all over Dallas for a lot of different things. But he was the major guy in the Southwest story there, and ended up being CEO for a lot of years before he retired. So
he was in a lot of the ads too.
Yeah, he was in a lot of the ads, and the road going into Southwest or Love Field Airport is called Herb Keller Way and things like that.
Well, I think that is about all that I had for this week. What about you, fellas? You got anything before we go?
I'm almost ready to get the 12.9 iPad Pro. You know, I bought it and then had the buyer's remorse before even going to pick it up. But the Mrs. has recently usurped the use of my 10.5 iPad Pro, and she is loving it. So Best Buy keeps taunting me in that they've sent me a, Jason, you've got until the end of February to do 24 months same as cash, not just the 12 that we give you every day. So I keep looking at it from the, you know, it's only like nickels a month if you do it for 24 months. So
and the sad part about that iPad is it takes you 2 years to pay for it.
and then on top of that, you know, Best Buy price matches Amazon. And so Amazon has the 12.9 on sale, like $70 off. So I'm like, it's a $70 savings and 24 months. I mean, like, how can you pass that up?
Yeah, but then it's another $200 if you want the keyboard, another $100 if you want the pencil, and
you're not helping, Jim.
Then if you want the cellular
love mine.
On top of that, and
I love mine. Don't get me wrong, I love my iPad Pro. Like I said,
every night when I get into bed, that's what's in my hands, reading Apple News and doing whatever. I use it in at meetings. You might have to cut that part.
That's what
you
she
know,
said.
Bring it to meetings, take the, notes.
The look on Mr. Idol's face when you were like, every night, that's what's in my hands in the bed. It was priceless.
No, I've been really tempted. And the only thing that's really held me back, the only way that I've been able to stop myself, because you know me, right? I mean, I even thought it was unusual that I didn't
run out. I'm surprised you don't have two yet.
Yeah. I mean, I expected I would have had one by now. I would have just given in, but it's
Ryan's like, we're going to get one just to keep it in the basement.
I really, really, it took a lot of restraint to do that. I've instead channeled my energy on Air Jordans, I guess, instead, but, and robotic shoes. But, you know, the thing that has really sort of held me back is I want to see some improvements in iOS before I do it. Like, the hardware looks top notch. Like, just the hardware alone, I want it really bad. But from a use case perspective, I can't make the justification from a, like, my 10.5 that I have is still a really good machine. Like, I see sales happen on it all the time, but it's still really, really good. It's not like usually the jump from one Mac to another is one where it's usually like, yeah, I can justify this. But like the hardware is really good, but I really want the OS to improve. And I saw some rumors, I think, that Mark Gurman posted about iOS 13 that I was going to put in here, but it wasn't anything substantial enough for me to include it. But if there were more iPad improvements, I think that would help me. If I don't get this one, I'll definitely get the next one, because it's been, plus I've had a lot of personal expenses that have come up lately in regards to my health that, you know, I could have bought, I don't know, three iPads for the bill that I was having to pay for fighting an infection. So,
my one more thing this week is the Gboard app for iOS, and I guess technically it would just be the phone is the one that really matters. Added haptic feedback on typing into the app this week, which is something I always wanted iOS to have that Android actually has. I'll go ahead and admit it. Android has it. iOS has never had haptic feedback on the keyboard. And the Google Gboard app added that this week. So if you've always wanted that for iOS, check out that Gboard app. And
so what's the benefit of that for you?
I don't know. It just feels better typing. It's just a...
Do you type or do you swipe? Because the only thing I use the Gboard app for is, or the keyboard, is for the swiping keyboard rather than... I haven't typed on a keyboard in forever. Like, it's constant swiping. So that's... I mean, I saw in the notes that they added it, but I've just never used it. That's like, where would I even use this for because of the swiping?
When you're swiping, you don't... I mean, obviously, you just get the haptic feedback on the first tap, and then jogging back and forth. I do both. I go back and forth. If I'm one-handed, I'll generally swipe, you know, whatever with my thumb. But if I'm holding it two-handed and I'm typing there, I go back and forth. I think if I could probably get myself more used to just doing the swiping, but I got away from those keyboards for a while and then tried it again and was like, yeah, this is really just better now. For a while, the third-party keyboards weren't quite there yet, but now I feel like they are.
The old Microsoft keyboard was really, really good, and then they retired that for the swipe keyboard that they bought, which hasn't been as good in my opinion. I did like the one-handed mode on the Microsoft keyboard where you could pull it down and it became almost like a protractor or something like a...
Yep.
Like it had that weird circular, which was really good for one-handed typing. Apple really should, for all some of our Android buddy who, Apple just invented whatever, and you know, because they implement a feature they never had, they really should steal at the minimum, they should have the swipe to type, because I think they could do it better. The one complaint I have about the Google Keyboard app is that it's always trying to suggest nonsense words that no one uses. Like when I try to do the word always, right, I'm swiping always, it always puts ashtray instead of always. It's like, first of all, that wouldn't have even been a thing when people were smoking. Honestly, people didn't even use that word that much, unless it was, hey, do you have an ashtray for me to put my cigarette in? Which you would never have texted that anyway. But I realized too, you can go through and say, stop suggesting this word. But like, it used to suggest the word THT instead of THE when I would do the. Like, whatever its algorithms, as smart as Google is, this is one area where it's just like, I have no idea why they're doing the most brain dead thing.
The other thing that it does that I love is I have some sort of syndrome where I don't hit the space bar, and I sometimes just hit the B key like a lot. Like I don't target far enough down for the space and I end up with B. And so, yeah, it's my fat little fingers. And I'll type four words in a row, all with B's instead of spaces. But the Google keyboard is smart enough to suggest it, and I can reach up and tap it, and I get all my four words, and it just takes out the B's. Whereas the iPhone keyboard, as soon as you hit that B and you keep typing, it's like, I don't know what you're doing. But the Google one is smart enough to know that I screwed up, and I actually have four words there with just B's instead of spaces. So the Google keyboard is smart enough for that.
If you want to stump the Google keyboard, accidentally hit a number in part of your word. And it's usually pretty smart about figuring out what you wanted to type. But if you put a number in there, it's just like it turns that off. It's like, I have no idea what you're trying to do, my friend. Good luck. I'm not even going to suggest. If you had A-L-W-A-W-Y, if you're spelling out always and you had a four where the S is, it's not going to suggest always. It's just going to be like, oh, it's just going to be little shrug emojis.
Well, one thing I do like about the iOS keyboard, though, is it has learned some of the words that I use on a regular basis that aren't actually common words. So I have been known to refer to people as douche nozzles or cock bags. And so as soon as I hit like C-O, it you know, suggests cock bag or D-O for douche nozzle. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, the Google keyboard finally stopped suggesting ducking to me in some of my words, so that's nice.
I've, for years, have had all the cuss words that I use in the custom dictionary on the keyboard app, so I just type, you know, learn this freaking word, you know, and that seems to work well.
Well, I think that's all I have for this week. You guys got anything else, or is this it?
I'm tapped out, man.
Good deal. Okay, well, we'll talk to you guys next time, and have yourselves a good week, and later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.